I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
Enjoy the show.
We always do, of course. Hope you'll enjoy the show. And here it is, a time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Now, of course, you can get to our website by going the long way around and typing in
thecomputercurmudgeon.com.
Yes, indeed. That URL still works. That's our old, original, antiquated URL of thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And that will work. However, I kind of got tired of spelling curmudgeon. I had a friend of mine at work who was trying to kind of give his kids a hard time, and so he told them that he would give them a cookie or something if they could properly spell curmudgeon. He didn't even know about my podcast until I told him about it. However, his kid couldn't spell curmudgeon no matter what, even for a cookie. I told him it's real easy. All you got to do is remember a bad dog is a cur, K-U-R, which, of course, rolls in the mud, M-U-D, on the planet Geon, G-E-O-N, curmudgeon. Yes. Anyway, that got to be rather old, and so I went out and acquired a new URL, drbill, drbill.cc, which of course stands for computer curmudgeon. A little simpler, a little easier to type. Yes, that's a good thing. Anyway, we have stuff for you this week. We tend to have stuff, I've noticed that. And normally we write about now in the podcast. See, if you say broadcast and podcast at the same time, your tongue wraps around itself and chokes itself. Anyway, the podcast. Right now, we have a song called Bill Gates Revolution by Leet Geek Beat. And it's spelled 133TG33KB34T. So it's written in Leet. And they're called Leet Geek Beat. Anyway, Bill Gates Revolution. And of course, as always, I've had to sanitize it for the podcast because they used some language that I would not repeat myself. I don't know why they do that. Particularly the younger generation seems to want to do that, and thus curmudgeons have to go in and zap their lyrics with my trusty Audacity. That's kind of dual meaning, isn't it? Audacity and Audacity. Yes, I like it. Anyway, let's listen to Bill Gates' Revolution.
To borrow some pins, took one off his desk and accidentally took his pin.
story, my grandmother told. She said, I'm sorry, my software is fine. You need to get a faster cable line. She said, I have T8 in a really nice computer. I built it myself and connected it to a router. He said, LOL, it's not a router, it's a router. Then he said, LOL, even louder. She got pretty mad and hung up the phone. Bill looked at me and then headed home. Sitting online, thinking of where I've been, about how I wanted to borrow a pen. I said, I'm Bill and changed his resolution. I guess I wasn't prepared for the Bill Gates revolution.
Yes, Bill Gates revolution. I like that part where he got owned by Steve Jobs. Ha, ha, ha. Yes. Anyway, we go onward with the podcast. And, of course, I want to remind you about GoDaddy.com. If you go all the way to the bottom of the blog, which is at drbill.cc, you'll find that you can click on GoDaddy and get 10% off your registration of a domain. That's cool. And of course, also there's Citrix Systems Go to My PC. I'd encourage you to check that out. If you click on the link right there at the upper right hand side of the sidebar of the podcast, you can get 30 days, one full month, absolutely free for Go to My PC. And if you've ever been without your files that you, when you've needed them on your PC, you need to be able to go there. So go to your PC through Go to My PC. And, of course, that's free for a month. That's just so cool. Anyway, we also, of course, are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcasts.com. If it's tech, it's here.
And, you know, of course, we always like to promote other podcasts on the Tech Podcast Network. And this is a particularly cool promo. I really like this one. I think they did a great job with it. Let's listen to it.
Smart? Yes. Geek? No way. Paige Isinger is the anti-geek.
Oh boy, here we go.
Now there's expert advice that speaks your language, discussing issues that impact your world from a smart chick with a point-blank point of view. Views from the Coop with Paige Isinger and friends.
Yes. Paige Isinger and friends, Views from the Coop. You gotta love that. That's just a very cool promo. I really like that. Kind of wish I could come up with one that weird myself. Maybe I'll give it a shot. Come up with something really bizarre. Yeah, sounds about par for the course. Anyway, let's talk about some of the things that happened this week on the blog. The blog, of course, being Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon at drbill.cc. And we'll start after the last entry of the podcast last week. And we'll start with the entry that says, competition to exchange unified messaging on Linux. There's a new communication suite called Unison, which was introduced at CeBIT this past week. It combines open source technologies and offers Windows clients and a single unified Linux-based server. Ooh, I misspelled server. I should fix that. I spelled it Sriver. Ha, ha, ha. That's pretty bad. I think I'll fix that while we're talking here. In the midst of podcasting, he multitasked and edits the error. Error, error. Sterilize. If you know your Star Trek lore, you know that that was Nomad. Yes, I liked that episode because Captain Kirk finally destroyed the computer by out-logicking it. He did that a lot. There were like three episodes where he out-logicked computers, which of course is impossible, particularly for Captain Kirk. And as a matter of fact, there was even an episode where Captain Kirk said to Spock, you didn't think I had it in me, did you, Spock? And he said, no, sir. Dissed by Spock. That's pretty cool. Anyway, I digressed once again. So let's go back to the point of which I was talking before I found I needed to find and correct a spelling error. Next item, a new version of WAMP Server is out. Now, WAMP Server is very cool. You might ask, what's a WAMP? A WAMP is like a lamp. You say, what's a lamp? Well, it's this thing that puts out light. No, of course, I didn't mean that. No, I mean in the server sense. LAMP is Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. So if you take the Linux out of the LAMP and you put a Windows in, you have a WAMP. Windows, Apache, MySQL, PHP. That's what WAMP is. Now, of course, because it has Windows in it, WAMP is lamer than LAMP. But that's okay, because there are some situations where you need a Windows server and you need to have the open source suite of web production tools on it. That's what I found this week when I needed to develop a platform at work for a wiki. Wikis, of course, are those things like Wikipedia where the users can edit the content directly. And so we needed one of those at work, and I said, cool, I'll build a LAMP server, and I'll put Wikimedia on it, and we'll have a wiki. And they said, wait, we'd like it to be a Windows-based server so that we can have scripts that will run when we click on them, and it'll run in the background and all those kinds of things. And I said, well, all right, I'll use WAMP. Well, it turns out there's a new version of WAMP server out, which gives us Apache 2.2.8, MySQL 5.0.51a, and PHP 5.2.5. Those versions are now available in the latest version of WAMP server. So check it out. Next item. Oh my, the next item I wasn't ready for. I messed up again. Oh well. I'm still quick on the draw. I got it in there. The Geek Software of the Week drum roll for the Geek Software of the Week this week, which is Astrowin. Now, there's a weird name for some software if you've ever heard it. It combines Asterix and Windows, Astrowin. And you might say, what's that for? Well, have you ever created a calendar website? You put in a username, you put in a password, and then you leave that website and you come back months later and it's cached so you can log in with your username and your password because it's cached in your browser. But you think to yourself, huh, wonder what I used for a password, because it automatically fills in with asterisks. So you think to yourself, I don't know what my password is. Well, Astrowin allows you to find out. When you are on that page where the password is automatically filled in by your browser, you click on Astrowin, and it goes bling, and there's your password in plain text. Now, you might say to yourself, wait a minute, isn't that a security problem? Well, yes. If you allow somebody else to use your computer and you use Astrowin and it reveals your password, then, of course, you're an idiot. And you shouldn't have a computer in the first place. So don't do that. And don't install Astrowin if you think that you might be an idiot. But if you are not an idiot, then of course you can use it and know that all is well with the universe. So go check out the link to Astrowin 1.20, the utility that reveals passwords stored behind asterisks. Right. Anyway, next item, the Microsoft, even Microsoft employees are having problems with Vista. This one, just, I laughed out loud over this one because it is so cool. Senior Microsoft staff complained internally with internal emails about their own misleading advertising over Microsoft Vista incompatibility issues. In a series of embarrassing emails made public during a court case, in the New York Times, it was reported that the corporate vice president, this is a Microsoft corporate vice president for the Windows product management suite, got burned after purchasing his own personal notebook computer advertised as Vista capable, but it was incapable of running the full version of the operating system. Even more embarrassingly, Microsoft's chief operating officer, John A. Shirley, chose not to Listen, this is a Microsoft dude, chose not to upgrade one of his own computers to Vista after discovering it was not compatible with several of his peripheral devices, including a printer and two scanners. Microsoft staff also discussed a decision to lower Vista's hardware requirements to encourage sales, with one manager warning the move would result in a complete tragedy. in one email sent to senior Microsoft staff, including general manager for Windows, Brad Brooks, Mr. Nash said that he wound up with a $2,100 email machine after buying a notebook that was incapable of running the full version of Windows Vista. Are we seeing this from a lot of customers, he asked in the email? Yes. A lot of customers throughout the whole world that have bought Vista are going, this is a bunch of dingo's kidneys. Yes, indeed. And so they're all going back to Windows XP because Vista is so lame. There you go. You heard it here first, and you heard it here many times before this. So use Ubuntu Linux and be happy with the universe, because it is the natural order of things in the universe to use Linux and other open source software, because it is the good guys against the evil empire. So do what's right in the universe and use Linux. Okay. Next item, Microsoft patches four critical issues in Office. Now, I have to ask you, why aren't you using OpenOffice? Because if you were using open source software like OpenOffice, you wouldn't have these problems like people taking over your PC and getting all your files and your credit card numbers and trashing your PC with terrible viri and other evil things created by evil people throughout the evil universe that want to eat your whole machine and spit it out like a bunch of... I won't even go into that. Anyway, the point is, you could have been using OpenOffice, but no. You went out and paid $300-$400 for some really lousy software by Microsoft, which of course is so full of security holes, you can see through it like Swiss cheese. So instead you did that, and now you have to patch your software, lest it be taken over by the bad guys, and you find that your credit card is posted on a giant billboard in New York City, and you without your life lock. Yeah, that's a reference to a weird commercial. Never mind. Anyway, Microsoft has addressed critical issues in Office and Office Web Components, as well as specific issues with Excel and Outlook. All the issues deal with some type of remote code execution. Now let me explain that for you. Remote code execution means somebody outside your PC can get into your PC, execute code on your PC like, oh, I don't know, DEL space star dot star, duh, and delete everything? That would be bad. Right. So all these issues deal with remote code execution risk, according to Microsoft. The first, dealing with the entire suite, is a critical issue for Office 2008 and an important one for Office XP and Office 2003 SP2, as well as Office for Mac 2004. Two flaws address memory corruption problems, including an issue with cell parsing. A specially crafted Excel file could take advantage of the latter, while the former attends to an overall problem with malformed Office files. Malformed Office files? That sounds nasty. Ugh. Anyway, in Office's Web Components feature, URL parsing and data source security holes have also been patched. So basically, the moral of this story, other than using OpenOffice, is to patch your Office files regularly. And you've got to go out and do that on purpose, because if you simply do a Windows update, it's probably just going to patch Windows. You've actually got to tell it to go out and patch Office on purpose. So go do that if you're running Office. Matter of fact, I hate to admit this, I myself have a very little used copy of Office on my own PC. Now, I use OpenOffice, that's what I use, but it's out there, and since it's out there, I'm going to patch it myself, because I don't want to be eaten up by the bad guys. That would be bad. And of course, I have all kinds of virus protection and things of that nature on my system to keep said bad things from happening. So, I hope you've found out this week that the key thing when it comes to computing is not to use Microsoft, tell Bill Gates, and go out and get open source software, because it will make him mad, and like the Bill Gates Revolution song says, he'll kind of get ticked off and say LOL when your grandma plugs in her router instead of her router. That's pretty weird in the song, I gotta admit. Very strange song, that. Anyway, seems like there was something else I was going to tell you about. I've got some things brewing, and I'm not talking about coffee. That's something that I do when I go to work. I have coffee brewing and pour myself a cup, you know, but I digress. Anyway, the point is, I've got some things happening out there in the outer limits of time where I'm going to do some more geeky things. We're going to have some geek projects, and it's going to be very, very cool, but we're not ready to do that quite today. So, hang in there, and why is this suddenly a short podcast? We've got 21 minutes into the podcast, and I've already gone through all the geek culture and all the other stuff, and even done the ads. Something is seriously wrong with the universe. It's never been that short. I just don't understand. So here's what I'll do. I'll mention the fact that we have things on our website that you may not be fully aware of. For instance, you can click on the Who is Dr. Bill link and get a little bio of moi, and you can find out all of the various things that I've been doing with myself for the last many years. You can also find out how to subscribe to our podcast. You can look at show notes of past podcasts. And you can click on a little link that says Tech News and get the latest tech news right up to the minute from Beta News. And last but not least, there is a button marked Money. Matter of fact, it's in capital letters, M-O-N-E-Y, with an exclamation point. You click that, and it will say, bottom line, send us some, please, because we want to continue the silliness. And that helps us do so by buying cool podcasting equipment and things of that nature. We have some things we'd like to get. As a matter of fact, I'd like to get something that cost about $149, of which I don't have in my pocket. But if I had the $149, I would get it. It's a little device that allows me to clip a microphone on myself and clip a microphone on the Game Master, and both of us could talk at the same time with two microphones. Right now, we have to do it with one microphone, and it looks rather silly because it hangs off of this little metal doohickey and sits in the middle, and neither one of us sound really crisp and clear, as I do right now since I'm using a headset with a microphone right near my mouth. You see, if I had that little microphone, and he had the microphone, and it was wireless, and went to the box, then his podcast would sound much better, and I'd like to get that, but that means somebody needs to click on the little money thing there, and click on the make a donation, and make a donation to the doctor, and then life would be good. So I encourage you to do that. Contribute to the silliness. Use our sponsors' products, and life will continue to be good. Also, this week I plan to do a DrBill.TV video netcast, so I encourage you to watch for that. I think I may do a special on the evolution of dance and how Optimus Prime can get down with the evolution of dance video. So, if you think that's weird, stay tuned for that. I myself think it's pretty strange, but then I like strange. Yes. Okay, it's just about time to exit the podcast. As a matter of fact, as soon as I hear that music, that familiar music, there it is! It's time to say, the doctor is out of here!